Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
This is a stunning turnabout for the New York Times, but one I predicted. As soon as I heard Chris Cuomo a couple of weeks ago on CNN say, you know what, actually, we might have told you last week that there was no crisis at the border, but we might have told you that for 5 months, but you know what, we've changed our mind, there's a huge crisis at the border, and we got to solve it. And I'm like, what? Huh? Look, they get all this internal Democrat polling. There's no difference between these journalists and the party. They are the same. They operate off of polling and talking points. So to see, I mean, do you realize February 9th, again, 2019, Thomas Friedman, head columnist at the New York Times, head of their editorial board, the guy who guides the editorial stance of the New York Times for the paper. It's a powerful position. That guy, to write a column like he just did, we need a wall. We need a wall with a big gate in it. It's going to have to be compassion to let people in. Where have I heard that before? Certainly wasn't the New York Times.
No.
It was from somebody else. It'll come to me. Now, this is stunning because February 9th, 2019, was the last time that Thomas Friedman wrote. You'll notice February 9th, 2019. That's like less than 60 days ago, even in Common Core math, right?
Absolutely.
No crisis. Don't need a wall. Wall's fake anyway because there's no crisis. He just wants to build it and make it look like there was a crisis and make, he wrote Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh and all those people happy. But it was all fake. Was not fake today. Thomas Friedman, folks. He's on Wolf Blitzer. And the reason I'm playing this for you is not to make you mad at their hypocrisy, at the fact that they stand for nothing, at the fact that they will tell any lie that attempts to move them closer to total control, because that is the only moral value that they have, total control at any cost. No, it's not that. The reason I bring you this is because the internal polling on the left must be horrific for Thomas Friedman to not even wait a full two months to reverse his position that there is no crisis on the border and that the wall is xenophobic, racist, and hateful and completely unnecessary. But here we go. Here's Wolf Blitzer reading from this week's Thomas Friedman column, a complete contradiction from his other column on the same subject less than 60 days ago.
As you write this line, I'll quote, "The whole day left me more certain than ever that we have a real immigration crisis and that the solution is a high wall with a big gate, but a smart gate." So you're talking about a wall. You want a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, a high wall with a, what you call a smart gate.
A big gate, a smart gate, and a compassionate gate, I said. Wolf, I'm as radically pro-immigration as they come. But it's pretty clear to me that unless we can assure a significant number of Americans that we can control our border, we're never going to have the proper immigration flow I think we need.
Now, let me stop it. What he means is unless we can convince a significant number of Americans that Democrats are serious about securing the border, we're going to lose the darn election.
Exactly. That's.
Did you think you would ever hear such a thing after, what has it been now, 6 months of going into the primary? There's no caravan.
Especially from Friedman. I mean, for crying out loud, there is no more bleeding heart liberal in mainstream media pretty much than this guy.
He doesn't mean anything he's saying, by the way.
Well, apparently so.
Now he goes on to say, Wolf asks him for more details. And he says this.
The tragedy, and that's why my column was said Trump is wasting this crisis. A crisis is a terrible thing to waste.
Again, he said there was no crisis on February 9th, 2019.
There's no crisis, but you're wasting it.
Yeah.
The president, actually, when you think about it, Wolf, he has the chops with his base. If he were to sit down, call Nancy Pelosi up, say, we're going up to Camp David, you bring your immigration team, I'll bring mine, I'll leave Stephen Miller at home, and we will actually sort out a compromise here, where, because Democrats were ready to fund more border security, but at the same time, we're going to create a legal pathway for people here, we're going to limit the number of ICE arrests, and we're going to have a rational inflow of people, of the kind of people that are both high energy, high IQ, that can actually drive our country forward. We need a compromise.
All right, limit the number of arrests. How about limiting the...
Wait, no, see, that's where I was going next. Listen to what, okay, yeah, let's replay that part because I cut it because I heard it. I went, oh, I know what he's doing. He's going to say, yeah, we want a border. Well, we want border security. The Democrats have always, did you hear that lie too? Oh, the Democrats have always wanted to fund border security. What a crock.
No, you haven't.
What a total crock. Okay, but listen to what he says. You caught that too, Lee.
We're going to limit the number of ICE arrests, and we're going to have.
I think he meant limit ICE and limit the number of arrests by limiting ICE.
If you limit the number of arrests, all he's saying is, okay, we've seen the internal polling. We're getting crushed here by this man, Trump. We're not going to win it. And power is what we worship at any cost. So we're going to have to throw the damn border wall up and fool people. But don't worry, because we're not going to let them arrest anybody at the gate. If we're still going to have open borders. Right. It's just going to have a gate.
Yeah. A big, wide, compassionate gate.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have a wide gate and a short fence.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And, of course, you know, with freedom, the freedom in the wall is going to be 4 feet tall. Yeah. So you could, you know, arriba, on delay, right over it. Yeah. But the point of playing this is not to make you mad, not to make you frustrated, and what a hypocrite these people are, and what a bunch of liars. If this is not the best example, for those of you who are new here, that CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post, they lie to you. Mm-hmm. They say whatever it takes at the moment to fool you into voting these people. And this is an admission of that, so there's that. But he would not be saying this if the Democrat internal polling was not a bloodbath. Yeah. He doesn't want a border wall. He doesn't even want a border.
This is political pandering on full display.
Yes. You know why? They're desperate. So why is Thomas Friedman doing this? Because the Democrats are getting killed in the polls, and the internal polls, they're all seeing them. And he's got to give the Democrats cover to own Trump's territory on the wall. He's got to let you think that this is the Democrats' idea on the wall. This is what we've always wanted. And this way the Democrats can say, oh, but the New York Times has endorsed this. This is not what Trump wants to do. We want a wall with a big, wide, compassionate door. That's right out of Trump talking points. Because they're getting killed. They're getting killed. Now watch. I know Democrats will begin to repeat this. Oh, we were always for border security. What are you talking about? No. There's always been a crisis on the border. What? No. Us? No, we never said that.
Well, this is just like when Bill Clinton said we are ending welfare as we know it. Exactly the same thing.
Yeah. That was funny, too. So just think of this with a smile on your face. We are whipping their rear ends in their internal polling, the polling they'll never publish, because then you would know that other people think like you too, and you might all vote together, and that would scare them.
Yep.
But keep in mind, don't fall for this rhetoric, because this line, like you pointed out, Lee, tells you everything you need to know about what the Democrat policy would actually look like. They may build a wall to make it look like they're building a wall, but here's how it would work.
We're going to limit the number of ICE arrests, and we're going to have...
Yeah. It'll always be open with borders with them, even if they have to fool you with a wall. Dang. Somebody just sent me this on the text line. 71307, by the way, if you want to weigh in. It's a quote from Thomas Sowell from his Twitter account. This is awesome. Listen to what he writes. If there is not equality of outcomes, talking about social, financial outcomes, earning outcomes, if there is not equality of outcomes among people born to the same parents and raised under the same roof, why should equality of outcomes be expected or assumed when conditions are not nearly so comparable among other people? Proving once again that Thomas Sowell is a genius. Anyway, gosh, I got so much to cover here. What should I do? I don't even know where to begin. Did you see? All right, you know what? We'll start with Joe. Because boy, Joe's got under my skin today. Yeah, he's running for president. I don't care. Whatever. Everybody thought he would. But did you notice what happened here? Joe Biden originally was supposed to launch his presidential campaign from Charlottesville. You know, this is where the poor woman was run over by the white supremacist. Right. And, you know, but they decided against Charlottesville. I think they thought that was too much. And so they went with just a video. And the video opens with 76-year-old Biden, you know, highlighting the Charlottesville rally. And, of course, as usual, misconstruing and taking out of context Trump's quote about there were good, some fine people on both sides. Trump was referring to the white supremacist, all of whom were leftists, by the way. most of whom voted for Obama or were part of the Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street rallies. And then suddenly Trump won and they discovered they were white supremacists when before they'd just been socialists and liberals. It's because they were on the payroll. That's why. Anyway, there weren't any right-wingers among them. Not the leadership anyway. They were all left-wingers. I think paid to convert to racists. But whatever. That didn't matter. So Biden opens this whole thing in a video. And that's when we heard the words of the president of the United States that stunned the world and shocked the conscience of the nation. He said there were, quotes, some very fine people on both sides. So he's trying to paint Trump as a white supremacist. Why? Well, that's what they do. Yeah. No, but why would Biden choose this? Because there is not a shade's worth of difference between Joe Biden and George Wallace. Google George Wallace. Great guy, that guy. Stood in the door to block little black children, innocent, sweet black children, from integrating white schools. Great guy. Not. You think George Wallace was the governor at the time? George Wallace has become the archetype of American racism. A symbol of it, even. Think George Wallace could run for office today? Think he could run for president? No. Then why can Joe Biden? This is what someone's saying. Okay, we are not even a week away from the Kate Smith statue. You know, the Philly ball team and the New York Yankees, you know, they played the Kate Smith's version rendition of God Bless America, and it was discovered she was a racist because one time in 1930, she recorded a racist song, didn't write it, she recorded it. Many other people had recorded it too, including one black civil rights leader, same song. It was a parody. But today, by today's standards, it's racist, right? Well, because she sung it once, she's been literally blotted out. I mean, they covered her statue at the stadium in a black cloth till they could rip it out of the ground and erase her completely. And all she did was record a song that is now considered racist. Well, what did Joe Biden do? Virtually the same thing George Wallace did. You know, when he feared little black children so much, he stood in the schoolhouse door to keep them from coming in personally. 1973 through 1975, Joe Biden opposed desegregation. Did a PBS interview on it. There's audio. I've read you the transcript. He embraced segregation, explained at length why it was important to keep black people in their own schools. 1970s, folks. Not 1930s. 1970s. What's the difference between him and George Wallace? I mean, maybe there's no photo op of him standing in the door, but there's no difference. These were of George Wallace's views. And he will, listen to this if you're black, watch this today. Watch this. Because Joe Biden, in the polls, looks like he could beat Trump right now, you won't hear a word about it. And he mentioned the Charlottesville thing to inoculate this. He knows it's his Achilles heel. He knows there is not a shade of difference between himself and George Wallace. I mean, the gall of this man to suggest Trump is a racist? Show me the tapes where Trump advocated for segregating blacks and whites in their own schools. My God, this guy's like a throwback. He's like a dinosaur. Now watch this if you're black. You want proof? You want proof. They don't care about you? They won't question this once today. They won't mention this once today. They'll let him go on telling the same lies he's been telling since 2008. When he said, this is funny. 2008, folks, quote, "The struggle for civil rights was the animating political element of my life." No, Joe. Let me correct your quote. "The struggle against civil rights was the animating political statement of your life." He'll get away with it. He'll get away with it. But God forbid a Republican candidate somewhere, even a Republican primary somewhere, some obscure, gap-toothed idiot showed up in a Republican primary somewhere advocating, having advocated in the 70s to keep black kids in black schools and block the door. And Trump will be tarred with it and the Republicans will be tarred with racism. They will let Joe skate today. The same week for merely recording a song that today is considered racist, we had to cover Kate Smith's statue and rip it out of the ground at the Philly Stadium. They're going to coronate him. They ought to throw the same black cover over his face so he can't be seen in public like Kate Smith. Then rip him out of the ground wherever he stands and lock him behind a door. Make him go away, just like Kate Smith. Why does Kate Smith have to go? Why do the Yankees have to disavow her? But Joe Biden, the segregationist. God, I can't even believe we have segregationists still living. There aren't many, but Joe Biden is one. And this is why he is associating himself with Charlottesville out the door, because he's got to inoculate this, lest his Democrat followers figure out what he really is. Watch this, folks. If you're black today, watch this. They won't even mention it. They won't mention it because they don't care if they're racist. Ha! Your humble host nails it again. Weeks in advance, as usual. And, you know, I always warn you about this, because if you're new here, and we've more than doubled the size of this audience since I got here, one of the things that's shocking for people, and I have to help them through, because they'll often email me, is that I'm so far out in front of everybody else that I sound crazy until what I'm saying comes true. And that's just a product of usually being first on stuff. Big trends. And, of course, being right. And so they say, I never heard this anywhere else. I didn't hear it on CNN. You must know, and I didn't even hear it on Fox. And you're probably wrong then. I'm not listening. You know, you're the only one saying this crazy stuff. Uh-huh. People have been with me for a long time. Going back to the Charlotte days, no, I'm just so far ahead of the curve that you tune in here to figure out what'll be news 3 months from now. And it's so funny to me because 3 months from now when it's news, I get these texts from you. I'm bored of this. Why are you talking about it again? Well, it's new to everybody else. It's just not new to you. And I nailed it again. I've been explaining this whole border thing to you. I finally cracked it about a month ago. Got the last moving piece to understand it. And it all goes back to a 2016 Supreme Court decision. Bunch of traitors. Unanimous decision, sadly. That, I will admit, was based on the wording of the Constitution, I guess. And it says you have to count all the people in the census. Well, the purpose of the census is to count the people for the allocation of congressional districts and electoral votes for president. See, but the founding fathers never, never thought there'd be an invasion like there has been. And it just says count persons. Right? The term illegal immigrant didn't exist back then. I'm sure they would have written it into the Constitution had it. And so the Supreme Court ruled that the census must count all persons. 2016. July. And then the flood began. I mean, we've always had a flood over the border, don't get me wrong, but not like this. Record-breaking numbers. Insane numbers. I mean, look at this right here. Border Patrol reports apprehensions in the Rio Grande Valley as of April have already surpassed all of 2018. Why are they flooding in like this? Oh, because all these leftist organizations are recruiting them. Well, why are they doing that? Oh, because of the 2016 Supreme Court ruling that said the census must count all persons. I mean, they got to get them in there because they'll be counted. And when they're counted, guess what? They get electoral votes in these blue areas that people are actually leaving, but illegal immigrants are flocking to. And they get additional congressional districts. Remember I explained all this to you? This was months ago. I started talking about this. And I started talking about Alabama, where Mo Brooks, the Congress member there, said they're currently suing the federal government that 15 million illegal immigrants equals roughly 20 congressional seats. How does that happen? They count them. And so, you are a blue area and you get to steal congressional seats from red areas. And in their lawsuit, they estimate about 20 congressional seats have been stolen from red areas with actual citizens and transferred to blue areas full of non-citizens. 20 congressional seats, folks, in the midterms, Republicans would still be in control of Congress. They stole Congress. Here's Mo Brooks explaining, and I'm going to get to the confirmation of this. The Democrats just admitted they do this in court. So this is why you're seeing the flood at the border, because they got to get them in here ahead of the 2020 census. They will do anything to get them in here, including lie to you about them coming at all, saying there's no crisis at the border. Here's Mo Brooks, who's a plaintiff in that case, explaining.
15 million comes out to roughly 20 congressional seats and 20 electoral college votes. Each congressional seat has roughly 700,000, 800,000 people in it. So if you count illegal aliens in the census for the purposes of distributing political power, that's congressmen per state or electoral college votes, the election of our president per state, you're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 electoral college votes and congressmen that are taken from states that follow our laws, that help our Border Patrol agents, and our ICE agents to capture and deport illegal aliens, shifting those 20 congressional seats and 20, roughly speaking, electoral college votes.
There you go. Well, the media has finally caught on to this, at least the right-wing media has. And they're reporting this because the left is in court right now arguing against the citizenship question on the census because they're afraid the illegals won't chime in. If the illegals don't chime in, they can't steal any more districts from red areas with citizens and transfer them to blue areas without citizens. By the way, this is the purpose of sanctuary cities in blue areas. They've got to get them to come. This is why Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is offering free health care for illegals. This is why de Blasio in New York is offering free health care for illegals. Why? Because people are leaving New York in droves. They're going to lose their power. Nobody wants them. So they got to import people illegally who do. And they just admitted it in court. California is suing to get the citizenship question off the census. So is the legislature of California is, the state of California is, and the Democrats in Congress are. Why? The premise argued in court earlier this week in the case before the Supreme Court is that if people, quote, lacking legal jurisdiction, if people, quote, lacking legal immigration status, in other words, illegals, do not complete the census form. The Democrats are actually arguing this. States and jurisdictions will lose congressional seats and federal funding. There you go, folks. Told you this before anybody else. I screamed about this. They're admitting it. This is why. This is why they're flooding our borders. You won't vote for them. Americans won't vote for them. Their own base won't vote for them. They're getting so radical, they need to import people who can't vote for them, but can give them the congressional districts in wildly blue areas. They don't represent us, so they have to steal these seats. The California legislature put this candidly. And there were arguments before the Supreme Court earlier this week. Quote, California is expected to lose at least three seats. To where? Oh, red areas with citizens. You mean they're going to take them from blue areas with a bunch of illegals? Uh-huh. And transfer them back where they go to the red areas? Uh-huh. They're afraid of this if there's a citizenship question on the census. It's so bad. Harris County, Texas also sued. Why? It's a big blue county. Quote, this is what they argued in court. Harris County is one of the plaintiffs. Given its raw population growth since 2010 of more than 500,000 people, Harris County is on track to gain an additional congressional seat. They admit almost all of the 500,000 are illegals. That they have a congressional district's worth of illegals just sitting in Harris County, and that they deserve, they feel, to have a seat to represent them. Well, where will that seat come from? I mean, we're limited to 435 in the House. Oh, from a red area with citizens. They're in court, folks, admitting they do this, admitting they are using illegals to steal seats from us because we won't elect them any other way. And transfer them to big sanctuary areas that are very blue. Then the illegals, for the most part, don't vote in elections. Some do illegally. But the local Dems will take over just fine. Here's the Democrats saying exactly what your humble host said. Under any scenario, in the reapportionment following the 2020 census, Texas will lose a congressional seat in Congress it otherwise deserves, they say, if the citizenship question is asked. In other words, they're saying our illegals need congressional representatives. Screw the citizens. We deserve to have the seat, and if they ask the question, we won't get it. Told you. Good morning. Bob in Greenville is on the line. Bob, you want to talk about the Democrats admitting in court yesterday, the Supreme Court, that they have to have the illegals to continue to steal congressional districts from red areas and citizens and transfer them to blue areas loaded with illegal immigrants so they can be, you know, counted in the census. Hey, Bob.
Good morning. That's absolutely true from what you're saying, but it's not new. It's just a new turn on something that's been around since 1787. In 1787, when the Constitution was being written, South Carolina, which was always a stumbling block within the colonies, would not go along with the program because they had such a small population in the state. The only way that they would agree to the writing of the Constitution is for them, the rest of the colonies, to count the slaves at that time is what they were, as a three-fifths of a person. So that's where the three-fifths vote came in your Constitution and in your American history classes. So there's really nothing new. They're just counting people that were not going to vote so they could get their senators into the mix of the politicians. So we're not looking at anything new. You just have a new twist on it, which is very vile and ugly. So there's your history lesson for the day.
Yes, and Bob, you have nailed this, and cynical too. I mean, the Democrats are literally in the Supreme Court laying it out for anybody who wants, cares to read it. Well, we can't stop counting illegal immigrants in the census, by God. We cannot put a question asking if you are a citizen because we have to count them. Because if we don't count them, the districts we have stolen using illegal immigrants will go back to you know, red places with actual citizens. I mean, it's so bad, folks. Harris County, which is a party to the case, argued to the Supreme Court that, look, we're about to steal a congressional district from a red area and transfer it to Harris County based on the census count, that we have 500,000 illegals in Harris County. And if we put the citizenship question on the census, which counts people for the purpose of allocating congressional districts, by God, we won't get the congressional district to represent our illegals. Well, where are they going to take it from? Oh, a red area with citizens. And transfer it to a blue area with 500,000 illegals? That's the plan. Now, this is confusing people. They're texting on the text line. Well, but I thought the illegals can't vote. They don't have to. It doesn't matter. The liberals living in these areas will vote. The illegals will stay home. The important thing is the allocation of the districts. So let's say you got a population of a million, you know, a couple million people in an area, let's say. 60% of the people are illegals. Right? And the rest are Democrats. So they're going to get a bunch of congressional districts. Now flip to go look at a red area. There's hardly any illegals, let's say. Same number of people. They're going to lose congressional districts. I should say same number of citizens. They're going to lose congressional districts to the area with a bunch of illegals. And the reason the Democrats are doing this is because if you look at Democrat population centers, they're all losing population. People are dead. They don't want to live like that. That's why they've done sanctuary cities. They've got to get the illegals to come there. And so they say, look, the economy's crappy here, but move here. And listen, when, you know, if you get picked up by the police, we're going to let you go no matter what you did. You'll be safe here. Come on, come on. And they've got to get them to mass in these blue areas with the sanctuary city magnet and giveaways like, you know, free health care. In order to get the numbers in the census to steal the congressional districts. It's that simple. And I told you what was going on. It sounds like a conspiracy theory. It is no more. The Democrats just admitted to it in court before the Supreme Court. And they're flat out saying, well, California, well, if we don't count the illegals, we're going to lose like three congressional districts to red areas that actually deserve them. Yeah, that's the plan. That's why the border's wide open. It's why all these liberal groups are driving these massive caravans over the border. They got to get them here before the census. In 2020, in order to steal the districts. Texter asked, were those 20 districts, you know, at risk, or have they've already been stolen? That's 15 million illegals in the country equals roughly 20 congressional districts transferred from red areas with actual citizens to blue areas packed with non-citizens. It's why they love these illegals. They don't care who they run over while driving drunk. They don't care who they kill. They don't care. It's raw power to them. That's all they see.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.